Good morning. Why, I can tell our people in Haifa, good evening. Soon they will go to sleep and rest. I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I'd like to thank Pastor Joe for opening your hearts toward us. Really, we felt accepted and welcomed between you here. Thank you all. And may the Lord bless you. The last year I came here almost in April, the same time, and I shared God's heart toward Israel, toward the Arabic people in the Middle East, and the Jews of the land. And we do believe that what is happening today in Israel will influence the whole world, because this is the place where everything has been started and where everything will going to be end. And we need you to stand with us. It's true. Our faith is global faith for everybody. But without you, we cannot do it. So please continue praying for us. And thank you for all what you did to make us be able to do what the Lord called us to do. Pastor Joe told me that I want to share with you on this morning and the evening. I will take the evening night to share some testimonies and other things what the Lord is doing with us. I prepared for you some video to show you the project that we are working on it. But thank God, I arrived here, but my luggage did it. So it's still in the way. When I got the video, I'll show it to you. Maybe after I leave, Pastor Joe will show it to you. Okay, thank God. Let us open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, please. In the morning, I came with my jacket. Just I entered the worship, I felt warm. It was very good worship. I believe after this message, you will feel hot. So rest and enjoy your time. If you want to take off your jacket, it's okay for me. In our church, we are very casual. So please rest in the Lord and let us read from Luke chapter 9. And I will read verse 57. I am using the NIV Bible, so I'm sorry if you use another translation, but that's what I have. And we will read from verse 57. The Bible says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, say to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes has holes and birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning. You know, we read about Jesus that he was walking along the road. This is something usual Jesus did. You almost didn't succeed to catch him in one place because he traveled all the time from place to place, from city to city, from village to village. Because Jesus came to this earth for a purpose. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord upon me, he anointed me. He anointed me to go. Our faith and our belief, it's faith of going out. This is the last commission. He said, go. We as human beings, we like to make ourselves stable. We want to live in places, build our homes, build our things, prepare our jobs, and make everything as we like. But if you come to Jesus, you will never catch him in a place, because he was jumping from place to other, searching for the lost. And you know, whenever this great rabbi, this great teacher went, lot of people followed him. Not all of them because they really believed in him, but some people have been excited to watch that preacher or that teacher, how he healed the sick. He's a miracle man. They saw him doing great things, feeding the crowds, healing the sick. So for sure, people like us, I am the first one, if there is somebody like that who do miracles, feed the people, hamburger in the morning, meat in the night, everything is okay, we like to follow this kind of people, true? It's nice show. A lot of people follow Jesus because they like what they do, what he did. And this man, he was walking with Jesus, and he was so excited. Lot of people become excited when they see something God do. So when he saw that great teacher doing something and he's walking there, he said, teacher, I want to follow you because it's great to follow you. I want to be with you all the time. You do miracles. I watch you. You feed the people. I will eat. You do. You. I'm with you. So Jesus told him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Actually, what Jesus replied to this man, he's telling him, you want to follow me? Are you ready to pay the price for that? You think all the time I will heal people and jumping from place? It's not a journey. Walking with God, it's not a trip. It's not coming to the Holy Land and visiting holy places. Following Jesus, it costs. And there is a cost for that. So Jesus telling, you want to follow me? Are you ready to do what I'm doing? Are you ready to be without home? Look, the foxes, maybe they have home. If you want to follow me, maybe you will lose your home. Are you ready for that? This man, for sure, he discovered that it's not what he liked to do. He thought himself strolling with Jesus, you know, near the river, everything is nice. A lot of people become excited from the church service, from the pastor. Especially pastor like Joe, I will be excited to see this man every morning. But following Jesus is not something emotional. He never, never, never told us that we should be just excited. It's good to be excited. I ask you to become excited of what you believe, because it's a great thing. But excitement is not the only thing we do in our faith. It started there, but we need to know that we are going to pay the price for following Jesus. And this man directly understood what that means. I can tell you, a lot of people in our country, you need to wake up every morning thanking God that you are able to come to this church or to any other church in America. Because your brothers and sisters in other places, they want to hide themselves, for others will not see them worshiping God and doing what you are doing. Believe me, some places in our countries, the van of the pastor is their church. Following Jesus for some of the Arabs in our country and the Jews, they know that they were going to be forgotten, they were going to be rejected, they will lose everything. Some of them, they will lose their lives. So I want to tell you, you need to thank God for that big opportunity that God brought you here, enjoying worshiping His name. And you just leave this place happy while others were leaving the church or the place where they worship. They don't want to see somebody watching them. So Jesus told him, are you ready to pay the price? I remember that day when I got saved, I was 18 years old. After 6 months, I met Christine, my wife. She was working in one of the government places, offices. I went there, and she knew me. We are in some way relatives, not close relatives, far, but we are relatives in some way. So she invited me to her office, and she told me, Yusuf, I heard that you became a believer. I told her, yes, it's true. She told me, what that mean? I didn't share my theology, pre-millennium, post-millennium, pre-tribulation, past that, past. Nobody understands that in our country. I just shared with her what happened to me. I was a sinner. I was a bad boy. And Jesus just changed my heart. You know, I just shared this morning with Pastor Joe, people, the secular world in our country, they don't call us Baptists or Pentecostal. They called us, not the evangelicals, they call us something interesting. They called us the renewed one. They mean something, and we mean something else. They mean that we brought some renovation to the Christian faith. While we mean that we have been renewed. Because if you meet Yosef 20 years ago, if I meet him, I will not know him. Because God changed me. He renewed my heart. He renewed my attitudes, my behaviors. I am a new man. This is our faith. So Christine heard the gospel from me. It was very simple. She went back home. She prayed with me. She told me what I should do. I prayed for her. I was 18 years old that time. When I prayed for her, she started weeping and crying. She went back home full of joy. Her mother heard her. She told her mother, guess what I found? For sure, the mother first thing she said, husband. She said, no. Maybe new job. She's saying, no. So what you found? She told her, I found Jesus. My mother-in-law, I love my mother-in-law, don't worry. My mother-in-law, she told him, what that mean? And Christine, she started to share with her. Can you imagine? Just 1 hour saved. 1 hour. She started to share with her mother what I told her. And believe me, I don't know what I told her. 6 months, believer, what I can tell her. Anyway, while my mother-in-law is healing Christine, she used to suffer from pain in her hands for 12 years. It was hard for her to move her hands. She's hearing her daughter testifying for her about Jesus. She got healed. Directly like that. And you know what? They called me, Yusuf, come, my family, they want to hear about the Lord. I entered that home, five sisters, five sisters and the father and the mother, and they have young boy, I start sharing with them the gospel the same way I told Christine about. And all of them got saved. And you know what? When my mother-in-law got saved, she saw bright light. And suddenly she's crying. She's seeing that light. And she looked back to the statue of Mary in her salon. And she told my father-in-law, take this down. She's not Mary. My father-in-law have been shot. I didn't tell her about statues, not about pictures, nothing. She felt it. My father-in-law took the statue from there, broke it, put it in the garbage. We say, we are new family now. You know what happened? My mother-in-law mother and her father, her brothers, her sisters, for 7 years, they didn't talk to her. They recognized her as the fallen, forgotten, dead sister. That's all. Can you imagine your mother walking in the same street? Your mother. And when she see you, she starts walking to the other side. That's what happened to my mother-in-law. That's what happened to me when I got saved. That's what happened to many of us. When we decide to follow Jesus and to come to that beautiful church worshiping. So you need to thank your God. In our culture, we understand that there is a price that we need to pay. And that price sometimes will cost you your life. Maybe 5-6 months ago, a young man, he has 2 kids, 2 years, 3 years old, maybe 5. Don't take me with the numbers. I'm not good in that. And his wife is pregnant. He's working in the Bible Society in Gaza. People threaten him, go out of this city. We don't want your Bibles here. He continue working in the office, giving Bibles to the Muslims of that city. Some guys took him while he leaving his office, kidnapped him, we say, and they killed him. They cut him. They cut him, my brothers. It's happened 6 months ago. And they throw him near his mother's home. He left a wife and 2 children while his wife is pregnant. Other Jewish pastor that he have outreach for Jews and Arabs. 2 months ago, maybe 1.5 months. The Jews celebrate the Purim. The Purim is a feast that when Esther and the story of Esther, so they celebrate that with Mordecai, and they make some like festival, okay? And they share some gifts. This pastor has about 17, 18 years old son that somebody brought for them a gift near their home. So they put the gift in the door of the house. This young man opened the gift and it was a bomb inside that gift. While Orthodox Jews bombed this man and he lost his sight. All his body is injured because they understand that this guy is following Jesus. Just 1 month or 1 month, 1.5 months ago. To follow Jesus will cost you a price. Maybe here you don't feel that. Maybe you are here coming to the church. I don't know why. Maybe because you got used. This is your denomination. Your father born here. Your mother. I don't know how things running here. But for that you need to thank God. But still, there is a price. And the price that God expecting from you is to give all what you have, especially your heart, to Him. We should be excited. We should be excited of what's happening. Don't take your faith as something that we just inherited. I told my son, I can give you all what I have. I don't have, but what I have, I will give you. The only thing I cannot pass to you is my faith, because you need to accept it. You need to experience it. He told him, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But our problem, sometimes we become involved in many things hitting us to walk with Jesus. So for sure, it's not strolling with Jesus. It's not traveling with Jesus. It's following Jesus that it will cost a price. Verse 58. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, another word, go. You go. But Jesus asked this man, follow me. Now Jesus asking someone, and I do believe he's asking all of us today to follow him, but in different aspects. Follow him with be ready to pay the price. So this man told him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Do you think this man's father was, he died just now? No. If his father died, what he's doing with Jesus? He was walking with Jesus, listening to his teaching. He was excited of what is happening. Actually, what this man told Jesus, wait for me until my father will die, then I will be able to follow you after the death of my father. But he say first, and Jesus don't like that word, first. He like to be the first and the only one. But we realize here, family relationships sometimes preventing us from following Jesus. 20 years ago, I was studying in the university, and my father came and told me, Yusuf, I will not pay your studies if you don't leave these guys. I mean, you and the believers. And can you imagine 19 years old, that time I went to the university, all my future was depending on finishing my studies there. I was studying X-ray. But I don't have any money. In our country, it's not like you youth. You can go and work in the evenings and you can make some money. In our country, in the day, you cannot find work. How you can find it in the evening? Was a lot of pain. I'm going to my studies. I'm thinking, okay, that the teachers, they already brought us these papers that we need to pay. The first part and the second part, and I don't have anything. And my father say, if you don't leave your faith or your followers, he say, I will not pay you. I came to my father and told him, Dad, I want to thank you. For 19 years, you spent investing on me and loving me, but I will not leave Jesus because of you. That's all. I quit the university. Not because I was a hero, but because I know what the meaning to be saved. It's not to attend the church. It's not to attend a music team or worship team or a Bible class or Sunday school. To be saved is experiencing God forgiving you from all your sins, and you be committed to follow this God until the end of your days. This is our salvation. So this man, he said, first, I cannot follow you because first I need to be aware that I need to be prepare my father's death, and I want to be to know that my father is doing well, and after my father die, I can have more free time, and I can follow you. You can take me wherever you want. I can drive your van or your donkey, whatever. But wait until my father die. Psalm 45 and verse 11. It says, listen, O daughter. Consider and give ear. What should I do? Forgot your people and forgot your father's house. So what will happen? If you do that, the king and the king of kings is enthralled by your beauty. He will be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. This is our call. Forgive. Forget your people. Your God is my God, and your people is my people. We need to follow Jesus first. And it cost a price. It cost a price. Verse 61 from Luke chapter 9. We are going back to Luke chapter 9. And I will read verse 61. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first. You see? There is always something before Jesus. And today we will concentrate on some of the things that sometimes we put it before following him. This man, he told him, first, let me go back. While Jesus wants us to go forward, this man wants to go back. Sometimes, have you experienced that you are standing, stopping with your car in the traffic sign? And maybe the car beside you or the bus start going forward, and you start pushing your brakes, you feel you are going back. Did it happen to you one time? Charles, I know you. But sometimes, if another car is going back, you feel that you are going forward. The same thing. This is what happened in our Christian life. We look to others, we see them, they are going back in their faith, we feel that we are good now. Oh, this pastor, oh, he's a sinner, I'm good now. Oh, this deacon, you heard what he did. So we feel that we are strong because we know the weaknesses of the others. And sometimes we want to reveal the weaknesses of the others because this will make us feel strong. Don't never go back. Somebody, my aunt, she told me, Yosef, how you already walking with this renewed ones for 20 something years. How this can be? I told her, my aunt, I was in the garbage. Everybody from the neighborhood took his garbage, throwing me in that can, big can. I am eating from the... I was eating from that garbage. My clothes was full of garbage and dirt. Somebody came, took me outside, cleansed me, gave me good shower, perfume, new clothes, and he put me in his castle.
Do you think I will go back to that garbage? She's saying no. So I tell her, why you want me to leave Jesus? I was in the garbage. And he make me living between the greats of his people. You think just 21 years ago, I thought that I would stand here in Groves sharing with you about Jesus? This man let me go back. Never go back. I remember that every baptism we do in the Jordan River, we sing that song, I will follow Jesus. You know, I have decided. Yeah? You know that song? It's an American song. We have the Arabic version of that. But no turning back. No turning back. Don't depend on others' weaknesses that will make you feel that you are good. This is our mirror, and we should look here. Luke chapter 14. Are you okay? Did you become tired? Please relax. I want you to enjoy. Another 2 hours and that's it. We will read from Luke chapter 14 and we will read verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Blessed. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great, great, great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who have been invited, come, come, for everything is now ready. My brothers, I want to say it again. When I enter that place, I'm looking at that beautiful building. And I say, oh my God, I wish my son one day will enter a place that he will feel that it's his home. But you know why you are sitting here? Because somebody prepared it for you. In our country, nobody is preparing anything for us. We are the first generation. So he say, come, for everything have been prepared. You know, if I will tell you, I became a pastor when I was 21 years old. Who's here 21 years old? Raise your hand, please. You? Can you stand up, please? Stand up. Who's 21? Nobody. Come on. What's happened? Wow. Can you imagine this man is the pastor of that church? I was pastoring a church with 80, 85 people when I was 21. You know why? Nobody else. 2 years old in the faith, 3 years, you can be a pastor in our country. But God for you prepared teachers, deacons, leaders, musicians. You have all what you have, videos, music team, worshipers. Because Jesus prepared for you everything and he said, just come. For everything is now ready. Verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. That's what usually we do, excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me because I just bought a field. So now we have the banquet or what Jesus prepared for us. And we have from other hand the invitation. Just come and receive what have been prepared for you. And then as human beings, we start to give our excuses. Why I cannot come? The first man say, I bought a field. And I need to go and see it. He already bought a field. The field, it's a symbol of the source of our living. True? They were farmers. When somebody in that time bought a field, that means he bought a piece of land where he will farm there. And this way he can sell and eat from what he is farming there. Source of living. Because my source of living, today we can say because of my job, I can't come. Usually this kind of excuses in our country, I don't know here, people say, okay, please come to the church. Come to be with us. Come pray. I'm sorry, you know, I work hard. I can't come because I have work to do. I told him, you can work all the week, just 1.5 hours in the night. I am tired. I need to wake up the next day. Please forgive me. Excuses. First, we saw that family relationship can preventing us to follow Jesus. Now we are seeing our work, our job, our way of living, our source of living can be the thing that will prevent you of following Jesus. Be careful. Be careful. God gave us the strength to work hard and to make money and to enjoy. It's not bad. Father Abraham was the richest man in his age. The same thing with David and Solomon, all of them. It's not bad to work hard, gain money, and buy your BMW. I don't care about it. But don't let your job preventing you from following Jesus. Don't say, I can't. I bought a field. Another in chapter verse 19. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Please excuse me. You know what this man is saying? I have just bought. Bought in English, it's in the past, true? Bought. It's also in our. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, cows, and I am on my way to try them. He wants to try what he already did. He bought them. Then he say, maybe I make wrong. Maybe it wasn't good decision to buy this yoke of oxen. Let me go and test and check what I did in the past. Because what I did in the past preventing me to follow Jesus in the future. We are trying to fix what we did in the past. I told one man, you should follow Jesus. He told me, I can't. I told him why. He said, Jesus will never look to someone like me. Let me fix my things. And then I will come to him. I told him, no. You cannot fix yourself. You need someone to fix you. Past. All of us. Today I share with Pastor Joe, sometimes I feel shy and shame to tell what I did in my past. But thank God, I have been forgiven. I will tell you a nice story. I know it. It's a real story. A young pastor, he has nice ministry. Some lady in his church, she proclaimed that she prophesying. This pastor, he wanted to test if this is something from God or not. He came to that lady. She's not young. She's in her 50s. Young. And he told her, "Dear sister, can you pray for me?" She said, "What do you want, Pastor?" He told her, "Please ask God to tell you what our pastor did when he was 2 years old believer. Please pray for God." He wanted to see if she really prophet or not. "Pray for me and ask God what our pastor did when he was 2 years old believer." The next week, she came to the church. She was worshiping. She didn't speak with him. So maybe he thought she didn't find the time to pray for him. A week later, she came again to the church. And this pastor, you know, was upset. He came to her and he told her, "Dear sister, you promised me to pray for me. It's true." She said, "Yes." "So you prayed for me?" She said, "Yes, I prayed for..." "Okay, what God told you?" She said, "He told me he forgot what you did." "He forgot what you did when you have been 2 years old. And believe me, when you come to Christ, he will forget everything you did in the past. Because all of us have been lost like a sheep. So then don't let your past and your things that you did in the past preventing you of going with Jesus and following him." This is something very important, brothers. "I have been forgiven," say. "I am new. I am a new man." Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 20. Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." I just married. You know, the Bible said two better than one. Two better than one. But there is condition that these two have been together according to God's will. Because sometimes marriage, or I can say relationships, can be the thing that will send you out and preventing you from following Jesus. I know a lady from our church. She was on fire, believe me. She did a lot of ministry. She was running every day from home to home, from house to house, from ministry to ministry. But she was single. She tried many times to build a relationship. She didn't succeed. She all the time, "Pray for me, pray for me." I always tell her, "Trust God. Trust God. He will take care about you. You are his daughter." After maybe 1.5 year or 2 years, a handsome guy came to her and said, "I like to make a relationship with you. I want to be married to you." But he is not a believer. Huge muscles, tall, proud. He has degrees. So she came to us and she told us, "What do you think?" I told her, "Impossible. This man will shut you off." She said, no, "I pray and the Lord show me that I will bring him to the faith." You see, sometimes we feel that the Lord show us things that we desire. It's not God, it's us. But anyway, she started to build a relationship. Every time she came to us, we told her, "No way, this is not from God." This man, after 2 or 3 months, he came to her. In the beginning, told her, "Continue going to your church, why not? It's okay for me." After 3 months, when she became connected to him, he told her, "Or me, or the church. Or me, or the church." Now, this lady, she's about in her 20s. She never succeeded to build any relationship You know what she did? She went with him. 2 months later, he left her. 2 months later. But the problem, she left God. You see? She was on fire. Because bad relationship. God wants us to be married, but it's very important to find your partner according to God's will. When I got engaged with Christine, I knew from the first day we were going to be servants. Two better than one. So I got married, and I just got married. So I can't follow you. This is part of the things that preventing us to follow the Master. And as I told you, there is a price. And the price is written. You can find that in your Bible. I want to read with you. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I will read verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We should not no longer live for ourselves. This is the call of Jesus to us today. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, the same call. It's the same call for us in Israel, the same call also for you here in America, in Groves. You should not live for yourself more, anymore. Jesus said, if anyone come to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Why should I hate my father or my wife? No. Just he means, you should not love them and put them in priority. As this man say, first, let me go and bury my father. Or let me go and check my cows or my field. Nothing should be before him. And this is the cost. This is the cost of following Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? What? Your job? Your past? Your family? Your husband? Your fiancé? Your boyfriend? What? And we as a church, we should be serious about being in a church, being followers of Jesus. We should forget the traditions that we got used to come every Sunday to the church. I am not here because my traditions. I am not here because my mother or my wife. I am here because I am worshiping the living God that He saved me. And I am follower of Jesus. I am a disciple. We should be excited. When you become excited of what do you believe, others in the outside will be excited. But when you are boring, you are almost tired from your faith. You are almost tired from your Bible. You read newspaper more than your Bible. And you watch your TV more than watching your slideshow in the church. You become bored and bored and bored. People will realize that. But when you are excited, I have been forgiven. But if you are just saints here in America, so you can be relaxed. But if you feel we are sinners and we need the forgiveness of Christ, this is the price that we need to pay. Forget everything and follow the Master. The foxes has holes. The birds of the sky has nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I think this message is still truth for us today. And I want to encourage you to take a decision. You should do something. You should do something. Others are paying a price. And God wants you to partner with them. As John said, I'm your partner in the tribulation. I'm your partner, my brothers. Let us bow our heads and we want to pray together, please. We want to pray together. Please, you can forget everything. But remember one thing, Jesus is waiting to hear it from your mouth. I'm ready to follow you, whatever it costs. Whatever it costs. Your neighborhood, your city, your country, it's waiting for you to be committed. You should be excited of what the Lord have done in your life, prepared for you. Just come and enter the banquet of your Master. I want to pray with you, with Pastor John, Joe. Maybe it's your time to raise your hand and say, God, I want to pay the price. Please, nobody look to the others. Don't shy. He was not shy on you when he was on the cross 6 hours. I want you to raise your hand and say, God, I want to pay the price. I want to be different. I want to be different follower. Nothing will be before you. You are the first and you are the last. You feel that need, that you want to renew your commitment, you want to renew your covenant with God. It's your time, it's your day. Please take a few minutes, check your heart. Check your heart. Everything is prepared.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.
Let us stand together, please. If you are really decided to follow
Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind.